need my help?
Pastor Appreciation Month. And so we would like to have
the chair of our staff Paris Relations Committee, Selvern Dakers, please come forward and present David with a special gift in recognition of Pastor Appreciation Month. Selvern, please come forward.
Good morning, Church.
Good morning.
First of all, before I make this presentation, I would like to use this opportunity, personally and on behalf of our Lakeside family, to thank Pastor David for the hard work he has done and continuing to do in our church. May God continue to bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
It is my privilege as leader of the Staff Parish Relations Committee to present Pastor David Branson with this gift in honor of Pastor Appreciation Month.
Thank you all very much.
We will now invite Pastor David to open his gift, after which I'll ask you all to join me in a round of applause.
Thank you. I have to open them now, it says. Oh my, this is beautiful. Jesus at the door.
Amen.
All right. Thank you all. I love you all too. Thank you.
Sorry.
As a divine presence in our lives, whereby you have
Hymn 64 will be presented.
Thank you. children. How are you? And what's your name, little boy?
That's what they all say. Okay, I got a question for you. If we're looking for something way off in the distance, and we walk backwards towards it, do we know where we're going? You're right, we don't know where we're going. Work with me here. So if we have a goal in mind or something to work towards, we've got to look out there and see where it is first, right? We're going to talk about Moses today, and Moses made it right to the edge of the promised land, and he got to look over the river, and God said, sorry about your luck. You're not going to get to go over there. So our scripture today is going to talk about Moses telling his people, and by the way, it's the longest sermon in the Bible. So I hope you all have some time today. Moses got to tell his people, this is where we came from. He got to look back and talk about all the things that had happened to the children of God, the Israelites, the Jewish people. They'd been to Egypt. They got enslaved in Egypt. It took them 40 years to walk what turned out to be not that great a distance. So they spent a lot of time lost, didn't they? It wasn't something that just happened quickly. And they didn't always look toward the future. They kept saying, let's go back. It's better to be a slave. At least we know we've got something to eat. And then when God gave them something to eat, what did they do? Eh, I don't like this. It was like giving me Brussels sprouts. If I had to spend 40 years in the desert and all God gave me were Brussels sprouts, I would say, go back and make me a slave and give me my peanut butter and jelly and I'll be happy. Right? So in order for us to see what's coming ahead, we've got to be looking ahead, right? So our scripture and our message today is about what Moses got to see over the river. And God said, take a good look because that's all you're going to get to do is just look at it. And then he took him up on a mountain and he died. Bummer, huh? All that great place that was over there, he just got to look at it. But he saw what was happening and where the people were going and the promises that God had made to them. So Moses knew that God was going to be good with them. He was going to fulfill what he had promised them. But he wasn't going to get to go over there and check it out. So our message today for you guys, and you, little Kenny, remember this. That when we see things, it's okay to look back and see where we've come from if it helps us to move forward, right? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the story of Moses and his faithfulness to you and for your deliverance of his people. And Father, we are your people as well, so we thank you for that same blessing. Father, bless us now as we go from this place. We love you, and we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Little Kenny, you can go off to Children's Church now. He minds really well.
This is for Sally.
It's a time in our service when we get to take our pleas and our praises to Jesus. It's time for us to spend some time at the foot of the cross and lift up those, our loved ones, and those around the world that need God's special blessing this morning. Hear these names this morning and continue to lift them up this week as they will continue to deal with their health concerns and different situations that they find themselves. George Russell, we understand that he's planning his escape, so But he's going to go to New Vista in Wellington, I guess, today or tomorrow. So keep George and Barbara and Robin and all the family in your prayers this week. Bill Rawson as well. He's suffering from cancer, and looks like treatment's not an option. Unfortunately, we heard last night that he fell, and he really banged himself up pretty good. So Ruthie's not here today. She's with him at home. And keep Bill and Ruthie and their entire family in your prayers. Tom Harden as well. We continue to lift him up and the Harden family. And Christina has also been suffering some health concerns, but Tom is able to get out a little bit now, quarantine, and cabin fever is setting in. So keep the Harden family in your prayers. Rosemary, we continue to lift you up as well for your health concerns. Pastor Rachel, I think, came home finally. She's been in rehab for her leg situation. I believe it was on Friday she came home, right? Yes, so she is now finally home. Should we make that announcement or no? Is it okay to say? Pastor Rachel is going to take a medical leave from her church, so she's going to be out of the church. This has really turned out to be a horrific recovery for her for this. And it's not even from her hip surgery. She's had some other complications, so we need to continue to lift her and Jean in our prayers, and that she's going to be taking a medical leave at least for June, I would suspect. So let's continue to pray for Rachel. Bill Carpenter, his health concerns, I'll lift him up as well. Bill Taylor, who's here today, we lift him up. He'll be starting some treatment for cancer as well. So let's continue to lift Bill up. Kirby Reynolds, Ina Ruddy's daughter in Connecticut. She's still in the hospital in Connecticut with serious health concerns. So let's continue to lift Kirby up as well. Darren is asking for prayers for his friend Lori. Her mother is in the hospital. Needs prayers to get well. Continue to lift up Stan Hanna as well, as he has health concerns as well. Emily battling lung cancer. Pray for God to work mightily in her healing as well. Joyce Blankenship is sick. She still has a cold and flu kind of a thing. She's been sick for 2 weeks, so continue to lift Joyce up as well. Ruth Meadows is in the hospital in Virginia with bleeding in the brain, so we need to pray for Ruth. Ruth as well. We prayed for Marcella, her granddaughter. Last week we prayed for her. And on Friday she went back to school, right? She was in the hospital and really was in dire straits. And the church has rallied around that family, and her friends and family have been praying, and Victoria went back to school this week. So what a blessing. So that is just an awesome miracle and praise for that as well. The teacher at Cat School has breast cancer, so Miss Santos. Praying for her to get well. Mary Ann Davis as well. And Ben Knapp's grandson, Timothy, lift him up today as well. George is covered in prayer. We have 4 prayer cards for George Russell, so that's awesome. That is awesome. I know there's things on your heart this morning that needs to go before the Lord. Now is your opportunity to do that. So would you pray with me, please? Gracious and loving God, you hear our pleadings this morning. You hear the need of our loved ones. Many, many names on this list this morning, Lord, that needs your healing grace and your healing touch upon these folks and the families and the caregivers that so desperately are praying for a miracle. Lord, we lift each one of them up to you individually. We've seen promise, a hope, and a future for everyone here. Father, we are praying this morning that you would touch each life individually, that you would spread your grace and your peace and your comfort throughout the families and friends that sit by bedsides, that wait for healing. Father, we know that you are faithful to us as we are faithful to you. So, Father, just bless us today as we lift these folks up individually and in all those that coming in and out of hospital rooms and rehabilitation facilities, Lord, would see the presence of your Holy Spirit, would feel your healing touch just engulf the ones that we love and lift up today. Father, thank you for this day. Father, as we pray today for big problems in our world, this Ebola outbreak, Lord, that has found its way here, we pray that everyone involved in that and all the people that travel in and out of our country, Lord, that this could be taken care of and kept under wraps so it doesn't spread throughout our population. Father, we just pray for the healthcare workers that so give tirelessly and just give of themselves, Lord, to risk their own lives to help others. Father, it's what you've called each of us to do, even at the risk of our own peril, the risk of our own demise. We are to reach out to others, and we lift up those workers today that face those situations. Father, we pray for places of trouble around the world, places where people are killing one another in God's name. How crazy can that be? Father, we are grateful that we have a God that listens to our prayers. And Father, we don't know your timing. We don't know your plan for us. But Father, all we can do is have confidence in the outcome will be a godly one. Father, I pray that you be with our leaders in our own country, those around the world that make decisions that affect all of us, each one of us individually. So Father, just bless our world today. Father, we lift up a school in Washington State, Father, that had this senseless shooting this week. Father, we pray for all the families involved, the families of this young man that thought this was the only way out. Father, we pray that you would be strong and mighty in their lives, and that you would hold them fast, and that you would love them, and let the community love all these folks. Father, our youth are so troubled. They have so many distractions, so many things to pull them away from a walk with Christ. Father, let us be the example of the ones that can lead them to know you. Father, thank you for that opportunity for each one of us. So, Father, as we lift up our world, our community, our family, our own church, let us feel your presence here with us today. Let us leave this place re-energized for the world that is outside these doors. Father, give us comfort as we pray together with the confidence of children of God. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. Father God, we pray a blessing upon these offerings this morning. Father, give them in love and hope and charity in your name. Father, bless them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Moab, as the Lord had said.
He buried him in Moab, in the valley opposite Beth Peor. But to this day, no one knows where his grave is. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days, until the time of weeping and mourning was over. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom, because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those miraculous signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his officials, and to his whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, let us see this scripture as a patchwork of our daily lives. Father, we can make it to the fence, we can make it to the river, we can make it to the wall. But unless we find the gate, we are left on the outside. Father, bless us this morning as we hear this message. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So Deuteronomy contains the longest sermon in the Bible. Deuteronomy is one of the four most quoted books in the New Testament, as it is Jesus' most often quoted book as well. Moses had some things to tell his people, to reminisce about the old days, to think about what the future held in store. Were the old days always good old days? My dad has a saying, the good old days, leave them back there. These are the best days. Maybe not today, where he's at today. But in the later part of his life, he said, I don't want to go back to the good old days. Let's move forward. This is the time of opportunity. That's what Moses was telling the people. It shows Moses standing on the plains of Moab in front of the entire nation of Israel. He could see a lot of things from where he stood. But he talked to the people. He went up to Mount Nebo and he died in the presence of God. If I knew I was going to die today, I would make this an extra long message today. But God blessed him in many other ways. Eugene Peterson writes in his introduction to Deuteronomy, this sermon does what all sermons are intended to do. Take God's word, written and spoken in the past, take the human experience, ancestral and personal, of the listening congregation, then reproduce the words and experience as a single event right now in this present moment. Those things that I just read, are those things we can put to use today in our lives? Do we have a hope for tomorrow?
Amen. Yes.
Do you feel your lives are hopeless?
No.
You're standing in front of the wall with no visible way over. As we read through Deuteronomy, we should pay attention to how many times the words like now and today are used. This is a message that we need today. Moses was telling them of the past. They had been through some hard times. They had seen God work miraculous things in their lives. He provided Brussels sprouts when they had nothing else. But even Brussels sprouts get old after a time. He wanted them to renew their commitment to God in the present. Do we renew our commitment to God each day? How many says to God each day, God, I'm giving you my life today? How many of you do that?
Every day.
Okay. You got some homework to do. Every day we need to recommit our lives to God.
Amen.
Let me tell you, folks, standing at the fence of the wall or the river, there's no other way to get over there. Do you understand that? The gate has been swung wide open. But if we stand with our nose against the wall or the fence or at the river, we're not going to get in. We may not have the opportunity that Moses did. Moses got a special ride up to heaven. He didn't get the earthly promised land, but he certainly got the heavenly one, didn't he?
Amen.
The people had been through a lot together. They'd witnessed deliverance, wandering, rebellions, wars, worship, joy, sorrow, faith, doubt, grumblings, and more grumblings. Have you ever seen the people that complain as much as these folks? It's not a good thing. They shared everything. They lived as a community. But as they were standing there that day, ready to cross over into the promised land, they were doing something right for a change. They were living together as a community of faithful followers. And God was about to reward them. As Moses climbed to the top of Mount Nebo, all the way to the top, Pisgah. When we were in the Holy Land, we saw those places. When you read your Bible and you think back to those spots, it makes it even more and more powerful. Riding along in our tour bus, looking out the window, it didn't seem that impressive. But I can tell you that Moses was surely impressed that day. In Genesis, Abraham and Moses were, well, Abraham and then Moses later, they were given a special assignment. They had made a covenant, a pact with God. God had come down and said, your descendants, your people, they will inherit what is good and righteousness. Now, was that an easy path for them? Did they get there easily? Like I said earlier, 40 years they wandered around. Now, you can get in a car or you can walk, and I guarantee you, if you had a straight shot, it would not take you 40 years. But God had made a promise with them. After Abraham, several hundred years had passed. Great struggles, hardships. There were times when things seemed everything was going wrong. We weren't going to make it. With the situation we find ourselves in our world today, does that compare? We could all maybe get Ebola. We could possibly be killed by a terrorist. Is tomorrow promised for any of us?
No.
Tomorrow was never promised. How old was Moses? 120? God promised Moses something. You're going to suffer a little bit. But in the end, you're going to get the reward. I wonder how Moses felt looking out over the land. He had the privilege of standing there in the presence of God. Do you know how awesome that would be? Has anyone been in the presence of God lately? Have you had a conversation with God where He was standing there beside you? I don't know if we can handle that all that well. I think Moses, we should give him a lot of credit. But by this point, at 120 years old, I guess he was sort of used to the idea, right? I pray for that kind of vision for my own life. Moses got to stand there at the gate and look over at the developer's preview of the Holy Land. You ever think of it like that? Him and God standing there saying, yeah, I'm going to put they have malls, and they have shopping centers. That's a good place for a movie theater. But what they talked about, I bet, was, this is the land I'm giving you, your people. Abraham and Moses did all the hard work. Well, not necessarily, but we can say they led the hard work. And standing there at the edge of opportunity would be told that you're not going in. But I'm sure Moses felt a wonderful sense of completion, don't you think? He had brought the people to where God told him to take them. Sometimes kicking and struggling and screaming and saying, send us back, I'd rather be a slave. Moses persisted. He brought them out of bondage. He delivered them to the land of promise. It's true, he wasn't taking them into the land, but his job was to get them there, and he did. Nothing in this message says why Moses didn't get a chance to go in. Moses had messed up a couple of times, hadn't he? Was God holding a grudge against him, saying, I'll show you, you're not going in? I don't think so. Has anyone had an angel or someone placed in your life that's special? That maybe even changed your life? And at some point you're separated, or maybe by death or whatever relationship breaks down. Afterwards, did you think, that person served a purpose in my life? That person changed me. And when God had sent a person into your life to change you, and that change was sufficient, God allowed them to be taken from your life. Do you ever think of it that way? We lose loved ones all the time. But I truly believe that sometimes their work with us is done. They've done all they can for us. And God rewards them. Now, does that make us feel good? Especially by death. It doesn't always happen by death. But a lot of times it does. Who's grieving? We are, aren't we? We're grieving for what we lost. But we should also remember and smile and think what that person brought to us in the form of a blessing, in the way that they might have changed our lives. That's what Moses was experiencing here. He had done everything for these people that he could. Joshua was coming up behind to take his place in history. And Moses' work with the people was finished. God took him up on the mountain and said, come with me. Do you ever think about this scripture? I don't know if you've read or studied this scripture much, but God buried Moses. God got rid of the body. God got rid of the body. Scripture tells us because they didn't want to make it a place of worship. Idol worship. People wanted to worship Moses. So God said, well, I know how these folks are. Let me take care of this. And he did. The closing words of Deuteronomy are the closing words of Moses. We're talking of Moses' virtue, his uniqueness. Was Moses really very unique? No, he wasn't. And God made him unique. After God opened his eyes and set him on his course, all of a sudden he became unique, didn't he? He was different. He was someone that the people would at times listen to. But even Moses couldn't keep their attention forever, could he? That makes me feel good as a pastor. When you doze off or you can't follow the message, I'm like, okay, Moses must have felt this. Peter and Moses, they're my two heroes. You know, we think about how God is at work in our lives. We think about the opportunity that God gives us. Isn't it easy to look back on our lives and say, boy, God was in that moment. He was in that. He provided for me, and at the time, I didn't have a clue. Anyone experience that? Hindsight being 20/20, right? Even me, I'm half blind. Looking back, I've got perfect vision. I can look back and say, exactly, that's what happened. We're all unique in some way. Moses had his way. You know, Jesus came along and you know an amount of transfiguration when Jesus and Moses and they'd come together and the powerful moment that was, it changed our destiny as well. Jesus opens up that moment of change for us. Moses had God's ear and eye. And God sent Jesus to fulfill that for us as well. Moses needed Jesus as much as we did. And Jesus shows up, doesn't he? He shows up. Would you look at this in this way? Moses represented the law. Moses got the law. That's who he represented. He is the giver of the law. With Moses' death, the Torah is finished. You ever think of that? The Torah is finished. Moses represents the law, and his death demonstrates to us the undeniable truth that the law can only get you so far, can it? The law is not going to take you to the promised land. Moses proved that to us. We can get within sight of it, but we can't get inside. Aaron, the first high priest, he needed a high priest greater than him. And that high priest was Jesus. Hebrews 5, 9 and 10. Moses, the deliverer, needed a deliverer greater than himself. Neither the divine definer of the law, Moses, or the administrator, Aaron, of the law, ever made it into the promised land. You find that intriguing? God used these people to set the course for us, but they didn't make it to the promised land. These fences that we put up, these barriers, these walls, these roadblocks, it gives us a view of what we can't have. That's not good. We all have fences in our lives. We all have walls. Anyone ever put up a wall? You ever build a wall right next to a gate? Did you ever run up against a wall that if you'd have moved down 10 feet, the gate was wide open? Sometimes it's... Is it more difficult than it should be for us to know where the gate is? We can spend our lives focused and obeying God, following and obeying God. We can just deny ourselves. We can even have face-to-face encounters with God. But when it comes to entering the promised land, we still need some help. Even the giver of God's law needed some help. Only one person was able to live up to that standard. Who was it?
Jesus
Christ. Do we want to follow Jesus' example? Sometimes it's too hard. Anyone ever get up in the morning and say, Jesus, it's a little too hard today, so I'm going to take the day off. I hope you don't mind. I've got some things. My car broke down, and the mechanic messed with me last time, so I got to go down and deal with him. Can I take the day off while I go have some intense fellowship with this gentleman? In the midst of intense fellowship with someone, do you stop and think, wait a minute, have I committed my life to God this morning? If you get up in the morning and commit your life that day to God, what's the likelihood of you coming upon a situation that you need to fight someone? We have a lot of folks out there that are rabid. You know that? They're like rabid animals. They're just running around biting people. If you got up in the morning and say, God, I give you my life today, you get your enemy shot. You get your shot for the day. Does that make any sense?
Yeah. Amen.
Are you willing to do that? You didn't do it this morning because only two people raised their hand when I asked. So are you willing to do that? Who's willing to do it? Well, everyone back here raised their hand, right? Oh, sure. They all raised their hand. Didn't they?
You're preaching to the choir.
Okay, folks, we're done. Have a nice day. I understand the buffet opens at 11:45, so if I get over there quickly. Folks, this whole God thing, this whole being a Christian thing, Moses didn't get it right off the bat. We may not get it right off the bat. But we need to look back so it helps us move forward. Amen?
Amen.
It's okay to look back. But if we look back and we just keep going back there, that's like I demonstrated walking backwards. I could probably make it maybe 3/4 of the way down there before I tripped over something or ran into the pew. But we've got to turn around and look out over the fence. You know the good thing about fences and walls? There eventually is a gate in there. Who's the gate? You remember who the gate is? Only grace gives us a gate to enter. Jesus tells us in John's Gospel, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture.
Amen.
Folks, there's plenty of gates out there. But you've got to pick which one. Work with me here. The narrow gate. There are gates flung open everywhere. We can just fall in them and fall out of them. But Jesus is the only one that's going to give us way. Where's Jesus going to take us?
Glory.
Take us home. I love that. We're temporarily staying here. You all feel confident that you've got a big nice room in the mansion up there somewhere? Me too. I want a room looking out over a lake, I think, this time. A nice lake. I want a nice boat tied up down at the dock. Anyone got the address to send my request in a little early? I encourage you to get up in the morning and say, God, my life is yours. Whatever you have in mind for me today, let me do it with your grace, your peace, and your harmony in the world. Do we need more rabid dogs in the world?
No.
We need our rabies shot in the morning when we get out of bed. That's God. That's Jesus Christ in our heart.
Amen.
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 Amen. Offenses are simply our sinful attitudes and our actions. Our sin separates us from God. There's days when we're going to feel like sinners, isn't there? We're going to know that we didn't do very good today. I've been someone today. But tomorrow morning is a new day, is a new opportunity, is a new chance for us to go through the gate. We know it's there. Jesus Christ is the ultimate gate crasher. And when he went to Calvary for you and me, he made that possible. So get up in the morning. It's not too late today. I'm not going quite as long as Moses. About 10 after by my clock, by my estimate. It's time to wrap it up. But I'm not just sending you outside these doors willy-nilly. I'm sending you out with a pledge in your heart that says, God, I'm yours. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to get up out of bed and I'm going to be Jesus with skin on. I'm going to look back and see where you brought me from. But I'm not going to look back very long. I wanted to thank Dan for his testimony last week. I'm going to throw him under the bus here a little bit. But what he also told me was the first 30 is what made the last 30. We all have time, don't we, Dan?
Yes, sir.
God gives us a chance. Today's our new chance. Today is our new chance. So get up in the morning and say, God, I'm yours. Don't let me bite anyone today. Can you do that for me?
Yes.
Okay, I got your friends' numbers and your people you hang out with. I'm going to call them about midweek and say, how are they doing? Have you been bit lately by your friend? It's easy to do. But if we're conscious of it, we can make a difference. We can change. We can become Moses maybe. I don't want to be Moses either. 40 years in the desert is a little too long for me. I like water. Let's close with a word of prayer and ask God to reclaim us this morning. That when we get up and go out into the world, that we do it with loving hearts and minds for Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the message of Moses. He was a man whose life you changed. He was a man who led his people. You called him for a purpose. He fulfilled that purpose, and then you took him home. The promised land here on earth wasn't meant for him. But Jesus came and made a way. Jesus came and gave all of us away. So Father, thank you. Bless us. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Please stand for our closing hymn, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. What a perfect way to end our service today.
Thank you.
get up in the morning and say, God, I give you my life. Let me be Jesus with skin on today. Father, bless us as we leave this place. Give us grace, harmony, and peace within our souls. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Welcome back.